Christian Parenting.
Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. I am so eager to share today's conversation with all of you. Not because it's a topic any of us moms are comfortable with or want to talk about, but it is a topic that I am passionate about encouraging moms to talk about, not just with each other, but with your kids. So if you typically listen with little ones around, I want to warn you, we do use some words that hopefully by the end of the conversation, you're going to be comfortable talking with your kids about. But we are drawing from my friend Greta Eskridge's new book titled, prepare yourself here, it's time to talk to your kids about porn. All right, so Greta is amazing. She shares her story, what led to the writing of this book. But in today's conversation, we also get practical, talking about ways to open up the conversation, what to do if you have a spouse struggling with pornography, or you discover your child has been looking at porn. We also talk about some of the, you know, related topics to pornography that you might not always be aware of. Oh my goodness, there's so much in here. Please, please listen and please do share this episode with your friends. And then I also hope you can get your hands on Greta's new book. There will be links to the book and all the other things we mention in show notes, which today can be found at monicaswanson.com/Greta-talks. All right. That's my little hint. Greta talks. Greta goes there and we're going there in this conversation today. Now, before we dive in, I have kind of spaced out and forgotten a couple months to share a podcast review here on the podcast. What I was doing for a while consistently is once a month sharing one review from Apple Podcasts. And if you hear your review being read, please reach out to me by email and I'm going to send you a little Starbucks card as a thank you. Okay. So if you haven't left a rating or a review yet, it's super easy. Wherever you listen, you just go on your phone, scroll down, you're going to see 5 stars. You can tap on those, but even better, you can leave a few words about what you love most about the podcast. I see that I am coming up on 1,000 ratings and reviews, which blows my mind. Thank you all so much. But for today, I am sharing a recent review from Wayer Mom. I believe that's how you'd say it. She left 5 stars and titled it so encouraging. This is what she says. As a mom of 2 boys, I'm always so thankful for the practical wisdom Monica shares. As a mom of 2 competitive surfers, the insight into parenting children through the highs and lows of sports has been incredibly helpful. The episode where she and Luke talk about his career was fun for my boys to listen to, and we had some great discussions following. As a new homeschool family, we're so glad to have the roadmap Becoming Homeschoolers offers. Yay! Thank you, Monica, for sharing your heart and God-given insight. From Lindsay Wayer. Lindsay, thank you so very much. Please do email me at aloha@monicaswanson.com. I want to send you a Starbucks card as a thank you. And I love that you mentioned the episode with Luke. I will link to that in show notes. But also, you can all look forward to another great conversation with Luke coming up next week. That's right. I love this one so much. Luke and I are talking about discipline and how he developed discipline growing up in our family. And as a pretty chill kid by nature, what that has looked like for him and how it's paying off now as a young Christian student athlete. This is one I'm going to encourage you to bring your kids in, let them listen, and hopefully be inspired. Okay, well, I will have a few final words to say at the end, but without further ado, let's join with Greta Eskridge as we share practical ways to talk about why, how, and when to talk to your kids about pornography. I hope you're encouraged. Greta, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you, Monica. I'm so happy to be here.
You know, you and I should start like a tech startup or something. We're so good at this stuff.
Oh man, we have a history of having tech issues with our podcasts. Man, it is tough, but we persevere. We're here.
We do. Exactly. Yes. I just think it might be evidence that we talk about important things that the enemy does not want to get out there. Today's topic included, praise God, you're here. You've been with us before. I'm going to link to all those episodes in show notes. But today, we're going to talk about a topic that is super important if you're a parent listening, if you need to, you know, cover some ears or put in your AirPods in case it's a new topic in your family. That's okay. But we're going to talk about talking to your kids about pornography. And I'm so thankful, Greta, that you have taken it upon yourself to tackle this in a book. What? So helpful. How many years have we been waiting for this book? When you first told me you were going to write it, I was like, sign me up. I'm going to be your hype girl because this book is so, so important and it's so well done. So congratulations.
Thank you. I've been waiting for a long time for this book too. And then once I started writing it, I was like, what have I done?
Exactly. Right?
It's a lot, but you're right. It's so needed and God said, Greta, do it. And I was like, okay, here I am.
I'm so grateful. I feel like you took one for the team just saying, I'm going to do it. And so the book is called It's Time to Talk to Your Kids About Porn. And it's subtitled A Parent's Guide to Helping Children and Teens Develop Sexual Integrity, which is really what this is all about. So can you just give us a bit of the backstory and how you became what you refer to as an unlikely porn fighter?
Yes, I never would have pictured myself in this role. I grew up in a Christian home in the 80s and 90s where we weren't really talking about sex. We certainly weren't talking about porn. It was just not a topic that was covered very much. And I was really fortunate. I did not encounter porn as a child or even as a teenager. It was not part of my story. And I'm really grateful for that. But into my marriage, several years in, my husband confessed that he had a porn addiction. And I was absolutely shocked and overwhelmed and so ill-equipped. I had no understanding about how pornography impacted a person. I didn't understand how a person like my husband, who I loved, trusted, he was a good dad. He was a good husband. He loved Jesus. And yet, how could he be addicted to pornography? It didn't make sense. And so that sort of catapulted me on the journey of beginning to learn more because I wanted to support him in recovery and healing. I wanted to find healing for myself. And then he and I wanted to support our kids. And so we wanted to give them tools that we didn't have to give them, you know, a kind of culture in our home where they were given the freedom to talk about difficult topics and to feel like we could give them the ability to learn to discern, to reject the lies that the world was throwing at them about pornography and sexuality and to cling to the truth instead. And so the biggest prayer I had was that God would use our story for good. And that took a long time because there was, a lot of healing that had to take place and a lot of growth. And it was healing for both of us, change of heart and so many things. But here we are, you know, almost 16 years later, and God has done miraculous things. And he's put Aaron and I in different roles. I really like talking to lots of people and helping people from, you know, writing a book to standing on a stage. And Aaron is much more of a one-on-one guy. And he counsels men who are struggling with porn addiction, sex addiction, counsels guys, talks to them daily, shows up in their lives in that way. And so together he's given us a ministry and it started with a lot of pain, but God has wrought incredible redemption.
Wow. That is tough, but what a beautiful story when you do get to the moment where there's some redemption there and you can see God using your story to be a blessing. I know you waited a little while before talking about it publicly. Remind me, when did you first share this in a way that, you know, the public could hear, and what was the response to that?
Well, I'm actually just starting.
Well, so I don't know yet. I'm not in a podcast a few years back that you're doing. I was thinking that you maybe opened up the topic and realized how many people were ready to hear about it.
I feel like there might have been like some hints, but not like so,
your own
for
story.
Lack of a better word, explicitly. That's a bad word choice, but also kind of funny. Like, yeah, I think that we both recognize that we needed time to heal and to grow. And so I started sharing about pornography years earlier. It's probably been like, I don't know, 8 years now. That was really part of my healing journey. Like, how could I help other parents? But we weren't really ready to tell our story yet. And that took time. And so we started sharing kind of more in a more personal way with individuals, or maybe sort of hinting at things, but to really share like the depth of what we've gone through, it's in the book. And this is kind of the first time we're really saying, yeah, this is what we walked through. And the hope, again, like I said, that God would use our story for good. And so far, we have seen that to be true. And I think that the thing that is the most incredible is I remember myself as a betrayed wife and Aaron as a man who felt like he was just so drenched in shame. Both of us felt very alone. No. 16 years ago, this really wasn't a topic that was talked about a lot. And I remember even speaking to pastors and they would just be like, we don't really know what to do. We don't really know how to help you. And to be able to say to other couples and to parents, you're not alone. This is an epidemic that is hurting a lot of people. You're not alone. There are tools for healing. There is hope. Mm. That's been the most incredible thing to be able to be a part of now.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet. And so as you've now begun to talk about it a little bit more, what are you hearing from women, from moms and wives? What is the reaction?
I am just so honored when people will tell me their story. I think for a lot of people, the shame is still so heavy. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the shame of they've used porn in their own lives. And as women, that's a really tough place to be because there is still this stigma that pornography is only used by men. But there are a lot of women and a growing number of women who are using porn. There's that group. Or the shame of being a woman whose husband uses or has used pornography. That feels shameful. Because again, like my experience, I'm like, here's this man that I love and who doesn't seem to fit what I had in my mind as the profile of a person who used porn. So you want to protect them, you want to love them, but also you're devastated and hurt and betrayed. So how do you navigate that? That, you know, feeling lonely in that place. And then there's, I think maybe in some ways the loneliest is to be a mom whose kid has used pornography. Because man, you do not want someone to judge your child and to think badly of your kid. And yet you don't know, like, who do I talk to? How do I get help? Do we need help? Where do we go? So what I'm finding is there are so many groups of people who feel alone in this shame, and the shame keeps us hidden. And that's where the pain just festers and grows. And it's so hard to get healing. And I just think God is calling us into the light. That's where his love and forgiveness is, where he can bring healing and we can kick shame to the curb, because we need to let the light in and let God's grace shine in those dark places, because there's nothing too dark for God. He's brighter. His light wins. So that's what I'm finding, just the power of community, the power of vulnerability, the power of people finding that they aren't alone and that there is hope.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know that I have heard from so many women over the past years through emails and DMs who might have just discovered that their child was looking at pornography or found out that their husband had an addiction or was, you know, looking at it either way. And I'm sure that somebody listening perhaps just recently has found themselves in that position, maybe hasn't talked to anybody about it yet. So knowing what you do, what would you, if this is the first kind of chance to be confronted with this, what would be your message to those women now, however porn has affected them?
I encourage you, if at all possible, to take some time, even if the disclosure comes, whether you found it or they've confessed, to take time, even if you have to say, I need a couple hours, I need till tomorrow, I need someone else here because this is too heavy for me to deal with on my own, so that you can respond not out of panic or anger or your own shame, your fear, all those feelings that are going to be swirling in your head and your heart, which are normal and expected, but to be able to invite the Holy Spirit into that moment and to be able to say, I need time if that's what you need, or if you can respond in the moment with peace and with compassion and grace. For your kids to be able to say something like, I'm so sorry for what you've seen. You must be hurting right now. Maybe you're scared. Maybe you feel ashamed, confused, curious even. And I want you to know I love you. I'm on your team and I want to help you. to be able to respond that way to your kid in that moment. And it is hard to do. And I want to tell you that there have been times where I have responded in the opposite way of that. My response has not been calm or peaceful, but I have intentionally been praying for years that when this moment or some other moment that is hard in my parenting or in my role as a wife, that I would be able to respond with just the power of the Holy Spirit. And then you have those conversations later where you talk about what you've seen, because you need to find that out, where you talk about just making changes with like safety on the internet and with devices. But those are not your initial conversations, even though initially you might just want to say, give me your phone. You're never using it again. I'm smashing it with a hammer. Like that's how you feel. But if your first response can be that gentle spirit of I'm on your team, I want to help you. If it's your spouse, it's going to be real different than that, I think, because you are dealing with those feelings of betrayal and it is really painful. But again, if you could respond with the power of the Holy Spirit, and it might take you a day or two to get there, and to be able to say, I'm hurting, and I think you're probably hurting too. I don't know how we're going to move forward, but I would like to try. Are you willing to get help? Are you willing to make changes? I'm willing to have that be the foundation of that moment. It's intense. And I've experienced that with other women who have walked through like that confession with their husband. And it is otherworldly to see how God can move in those moments that are just so intensely painful. And yet he is there and he is present. I shared at my church just last night that those weeks for me, when Aaron had disclosed what was going on, they were the most painful of my life. And somehow they were also the most intimate of my life with Jesus. And it's like this spiritual math that doesn't make any sense, because it was like the worst thing ever. But it was also the most beautiful time of communion with him that I could not have anticipated. And so he can do that. And it doesn't make sense, but we can invite him into those moments and ask him to be our comforter, to be our peace when it doesn't seem like it's possible. And so that's my advice. Do the other things as the second and third conversation, but that first conversation, if at all possible, and with God, I believe it is possible, because all things are possible with God. Invite him in and invite the Holy Spirit to lead you.
Right. Even I'm imagining if you feel completely numb on the inside, if you can just take Greta's advice and just walk through those, you know, even if it feels like you're just going through the motions, that is such good advice. And yeah, only with God could you ever experience what you did. And I have to imagine anybody who's more fresh in this situation, just seeing you now, knowing that you walked through that, and now look at you, not only have you experienced healing, but you've written a book about like what hope this gives people. So now let's talk about those with kids at home who haven't talk to kids about pornography yet. That's obviously what the book is about. You have such practical help in there. But just to give a little sneak peek, what would you say? It's not a comfortable topic. It's very awkward. I mean, anything related to sex is awkward. And pornography, if your kid doesn't even know about it yet, give us just that quick, like, what age do you recommend beginning these conversations and how can that look?
Oh, this is great. We need practical. How do we have the talk? And I think that it's important to know that the average age of first exposure for pornography is 11, but there are lots of experts who say it's actually younger, even as young as 8. I mean, just yesterday I was talking to a mom who said every kid in her son's second grade classroom got their own Chromebook with access to the internet. And yes, there are firewalls and things that they put in place. But kids are brilliant and they can go around the firewalls. They know how to send an email and suddenly everybody has porn popping up on their computer in elementary school classrooms. And I say that not to freak people out, but to give you a sense of urgency to know you need to talk to your kids so they know what to do. Can you imagine if in that classroom, when that email goes out, because I've gotten DMs from parents who've said, this has happened. The kids are in the classroom and suddenly every kid gets some message and they open up that email or that message and it's porn. If your kid had been equipped to know what it was and to say, teacher, somebody sent porn on the computer and the teacher can shut it down immediately. Like, wow, your child is empowered. And that's what you have to do. And that first conversation should happen then, like 5, 6, 7 years old, because you want to get on the front end. You want to equip them with how to respond to pornography before they see it. Remember, they don't carry the weight of pornography the way we do. They don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. They have no context.
Right.
So you give them the least amount of information to keep them the most safe. Mm. And it could just be like, sweetheart, I need to tell you about something called pornography. It's something that is not safe, not good for you. It's actually dangerous. And I want to keep you safe. That's my job. So pornography, you need to know what it is. It's pictures or movies of people with no clothes on. We could see their privates, and we know we don't look at other people's privates. So if you see a picture or a movie like that, when you're on my phone playing a game or on your tablet watching something, or if somebody shows you on their phone or their computer, here's what I want you to do. Turn the phone off, close the computer, or tell that person, I don't want to look at that. And you walk away. And then you come find me or dad or somebody else you trust. And you say, I think I saw pornography, and we'll help you. You won't be in trouble. We're there to help you. And that's the conversation that you have with your youngest.
Hey friends, if you are a homeschool family or thinking about becoming one, I have good news for you. I get a lot of questions about the best curriculum to use, especially for math and science, because it can be really hard to find a curriculum that you trust and that your kids like. Well, all of my boys have used the diveintomath.com website to take math classes through Shorman Math, which now begins in fourth grade, and also the Dive science classes, which begin in seventh grade. There is a lot of information over at the diveintomath.com website, including a placement chart to help you know where your child should start. Now, there are live class options and siblings get a reduced price. Also, you should know that Shorman Algebra 1 and 2 teaches every concept on the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions. So before you go out and hire expensive tutors, I encourage you to just check out what Dr. Shorman has at the diveintomath.com website. My boys found what they learned through Dr. Shorman to prepare them well for their careers in engineering and data analytics. They also loved a 4-day school week and short classes that were packed with everything they needed and a ton of helpful support from Dr. Shorman. So take just a moment to go over to diveintomath.com, check out everything they have over there, and also great customer support. So reach out with any questions. This episode of the Monica Swanson Podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers a network of more than 30,000 credentialed therapists with a wide range of specialties. BetterHelp is fully online, making therapy affordable and convenient, serving over 5 million people worldwide. Now, one thing we often talk about is red flags in relationships. But have you ever thought about relationship green flags? Well, whether you're dating, married, building a friendship, or just working on yourself, it's time to start looking for some green flags and learn how to have better relationships. Therapy can be so helpful, and it isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. As one friend of mine used to say, therapy is being proactive against all kinds of issues that may come up. So is it time for you to discover your relationship green flags? If so, check out BetterHelp. You can visit betterhelp.com/Swanson today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Swanson. Yes, you can do that. We can do that.
Yes.
Yeah. That's not difficult.
Yeah.
And like I've always told my boys, if you come and tell me, you will never get in trouble. But you don't want me to find out that you're looking at something and not telling me. So
yeah. And you're creating that by saying from the beginning, before they have that accidental exposure, because most first time exposure is accidental. Mm-hmm. But if you haven't prepared them, then they will feel a sense of shame or discomfort or fear. And if you haven't prepared them for what to do with those feelings, then the temptation is to hide, right? But we want to say, you don't have to hide. You don't have to pretend this isn't happening or it hasn't happened. And we don't want them to return because they're curious. Instead, we want them to come to us. And so you're setting that, again, that foundation of trust and safety.
Mm. Yeah. And I think just like anything along the subject of sexuality, it's not a one-time conversation, right? It's one you continue to bring up, check in. Because once we've put it out there, kids are going to feel a lot more comfortable coming to us knowing that it's a topic that's, you know, open and okay, that we can handle it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and people were like, well, how do we bring it up? And for me, I'm just like, it'll be like, hey, remember we talked a couple months ago about that thing called pornography? Do you remember what that is? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I had this exact conversation with one of my sons and he was like 10 and he was like, yeah, I think, I mean, kind of, but can you just tell me again? Mm-hmm. So it's not even something he's dwelling on, but he clearly needs a refresher, you know? So it's just that simple. Just bring it up and then give him a refresher, tell him what to do, and then, you know, revisit again in a couple months.
Right. So awesome. And I mean, we are raising our kids in a culture that has just so normalized this whole topic of pornography, like as if it's an okay, funny. I mean, I see outlets that shouldn't be even bringing it into topics that it shocks me. Do you see any movement to change that? Like, are there, I haven't kept up on what's going on, whether it's politically or culturally. Do we have some hope that maybe this is going to, you know, course correct?
I think that there is hope, because what I have found when I talk to like teens or young adults, whether that's just in my own circle, my kids and their friends, or when I speak to groups, that there are kids who are like, we don't want to do that. Or when I say you don't have to do that, you don't have to engage in porn, they're first surprised because nobody ever tells them that. Culture just says everybody uses porn. But then they're excited. They're like, oh, we don't have to engage in pornography. This doesn't have to be the way we live our lives. We actually want that, especially when they find out like that pornography has a personal impact on their physical, emotional health, their mental health. And then they also find out that the way that it impacts society. They've never thought about things like pornography is connected to sex trafficking or child abuse or like things like sextortion. No one's ever told them that. All they've heard is the jokes on every sitcom and the things that they see, you know, here in the locker room or here just in the hallways at school or on the soccer field, whatever. That's what they're hearing. That's what's normalized. And when someone says, actually, let me tell you a different way to look at this, they're blown away and they want better. I think kids, teenagers, young adults, they want better. They know that this isn't the best for them, but if no one's telling them there is something different, there is something better, how are they going to know to pursue that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost become like just a rite of passage, like so many other things. But I think that's so cool to give them credit that they actually want to live good lives and they want to have good marriages one day. And if we can help them understand that there's a lot they can do now to be preparing for that, that's super powerful. Yeah. Another topic that came up that's just related closely, but I don't know if it is acknowledged that way as much as I think it should be. I think maybe for the girls who aren't looking at porn, there is that young adult, what do we call it? Novels, YA novels.
Erotic literature.
Yeah. And I think that's important that girls recognize that that is essentially the same thing.
Yes, that is so important to talk about because I think a lot of parents don't even know that that is an issue. They are just like, oh, my daughter loves to read. Yay. And when I share this in my talks, often I have parents are like, oh my gosh, I can't even give my kid a book. Is nothing safe? And I'm like, no, nothing is safe. And that's because the pornography industry wants to get your kids to be their customers. And they want to get them at the youngest age possible so they can have a customer for life. Wow. And for girls, many times that is through erotic literature. That's their introduction to porn because it is porn. It's just it's presented in a different way because they know like every person is different. And the way a girl responds or a woman responds to pornography is more relational. And that is what the appeal of erotic literature is. It starts with this relational sort of story. And then it builds from there. A couple years ago, I was doing a talk and it was for parents, but there was a girl there. She was like 15. And she, when I said this to parents to like let them know about erotic literature and being careful for what their daughters were reading, she actually like yelled from the back of the room, "Amen. Thank you." Like, wow, I've never had that response before. I want to talk to you after. And she came up and she said to me, "So many of my friends read these books and they're reading porn and they're getting sucked in and nobody knows. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody's telling them it's not good for them." So she's like, "Thank you for saying something." So Monica, thanks for bringing it up, because it is an issue that we want to be aware of so we can help our daughters choose better.
Sure. Yes. And I know that you believe in filters, but let's talk about that for just a moment. The importance of filters on computers, but also the things that they're not going to cover, right? Can you just speak to that? Because I'm a big fan. We've used Covenant Eyes for many, many years. There's many good filters out there. I'll make sure to link to some in show notes, but they're not foolproof, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you definitely want to, like, you know, I remember when my daughter got an iPad for doing art. And, you know, I have lots of kids who are artists. And I could not believe that when we booted it up, none of the parental controls were set to safe mode. They were set to explicit. So any podcast that she wanted to listen to, music videos, content on the internet, it was all set to explicit automatically. So if you as a parent, you don't know, and you're handing your kid a device of any kind, and you don't go into those settings, which are not easy to get to, they're kind of tricky, and I don't think that's accidental, then you are just allowing all kinds of really disturbing content to be accessible to them. So you do want to enable those parental controls. You do want to use safety software, or like you said, accountability software, Covenant Eyes. There are a lot of different things and they're really important and they're really helpful. But here's the one caution I would give is so many times we as parents were like, okay, I installed the software. The parental controls. I don't have to worry anymore. And that's just not the truth, because again, kids can find their way around things. But even more, because that always makes the kids sound like the bad guys here, even more, the pornography industry can find their way around things. Yeah. So for example, apps, like when a kid's in an app, there's a lot of times the filtering software that you have or the parental controls are not going to be able to stop a stranger from accessing your kid in an app and showing them porn or requesting nudes or sending nudes back and forth or other content to get through in those apps. Even the content that's just approved in the apps, this doesn't even have to be filtered, because they're like, it's okay for this stuff to come through. So yes, use those things, but also have open communication with your kids. Talk to them, talk and talk until they're just sick of hearing you talk about it.
And then keep talking.
That's the best way. Yes. And then keep talking. That's the best way.
It is. Yeah. And I'm a big believer in all of those layers, like yes to the filters, yes to whatever you can get your hands on, but then talk first and talk last and talk all throughout. And, you know, I've had people tell me their kid ended up finding porn through like Google Earth or something that seemed completely
Spotify.
So many things. So
audiobook.
Yeah. And I think the key here is you have to be, again, circling back to the girls and the books, we need to just be involved in our kids' lives. And it is worth taking that moment to say, let me flip through the book you're reading. Let me look at your phone, scroll through history, just making sure that you are, you know, always touching base, revisiting the conversation. There's so much.
And especially, can I add one thing, Monica? I would say especially for teens, like as your kids get into the teen years, like that's when it's so critical that you're having those conversations continually, because there's so many more things that they're encountering that they're having to deal with growing up in this day and age. Like I said, sending nudes. Like, have you talked about it with your kids, your teen? Do they know what to do if someone were to ask them for one or send them one? Because that's something boys do to girls, like solicited, sending them nude pictures. Do they know how to respond? Have you talked about it? Have you talked about sextortion? Like, what if somebody, you know, tricks you into sending a picture and then says, send me $500 or I'm telling everyone what you did? Like, does your kid know how to respond? So like, we have to have the conversations again and again, because as our kids grow up, they're faced with more and more challenges that are things that we might not even have thought of. So I think, yeah, we've got to be involved in our kids' life, just like you said. We really do, because that's where our greatest defense is yeah. just knowing what's going on and talking to them about it.
Definitely. And I love that all that goes back to the tone that we open with when they're young. And maybe you have a teenager, someone listening, and you haven't talked about it yet. You've got to just push through the awkward and talk about it. Because yes, then if they face one of those moments where they have made a mistake, where they find themselves in a position that, you know, they never meant to get to, you want to be the person they turn to in that moment. You don't want them
yes.
feeling afraid to approach you. So good. Well, all of this clearly is helped through a relationship with God. And we want to know that yeah. our kids feel safe running to Him. Anyone listening that is going through any of this, we know that God is our safe place to run to first and foremost. I know that Scripture has helped you through your journey. Are there a couple mm-hmm. verses you could share that we can include in show notes for someone mm-hmm. who's facing this right now?
Yeah, I think of the verse from Psalms, and of course, I can't remember the address right now, but that's it's right. in Psalms.
We'll find it.
God is near to the brokenhearted and those who are crushed in spirit. And that was so powerful to me, especially in times when I really did feel like so brokenhearted, that God speaks specifically to that feeling and that place you're in. And then I think about now where I'm at, verse from Romans 12, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
There we
and
go.
I think as parents, if we can cling to that, like God is the victor. He has claimed victory in this battle. And we need to lean into that instead of fear. And so that's like my battle cry. Lord, help me overcome evil with good in my own family and helping families, you know, wherever I can, that they can also lean into that hope that we have, that we don't have to be overcome by this. That mm-hmm. God is bigger. He is greater than the evil that is in the world because He is the victor.
Amen. That's a good word. And how about just for another hopefully hopeful message we can wrap up with? I don't know if you have exact statistics or anything, but for those who are facing addiction, is recovery likely? What's the success we can hope for once we've got it and once the person is ready to say, I want to be done with this? What does that look like? Do you have a time frame? What's the typical course?
I don't have a statistic for that, actually.
There may not be. I don't know if it's out there.
There, no, if there is, but I can speak from personal experience in my own life and then seeing many, many people who have walked through recovery that it is absolutely possible. It is hard work and it can take years. I think the initial recovery for the person who is using pornography, their initial, like to be able to go 90 days without using pornography is incredible. And to be able to meet that benchmark. And sometimes for some of the guys my husband works with, that is a daily call with him and checking in and having someone who is on their team. Because man, loneliness is a huge part of fighting this mm-hmm. battle. And so I would say that that's a huge part of success is to be able to have somebody who's walking through it with you, not your spouse, because they're on their own healing journey. And then getting to a year for the betrayed spouse, the person who's on the other side, they're in recovery too. And yes, recovery is possible for them as well. There are organizations who have studied the brain science part of this, the spiritual aspect, the changing of habits. I will send you, Monica, some links to organizations that I know of that are doing incredible work in this area, helpful for the person who needs recovery for their porn use or addiction, and then recovery for the betrayed spouse as well. So you can put them in the show notes. Awesome. So that is my hopeful word. It is possible, and there are people who want to help.
That is good news. And I love the daily check-ins and regular accountability. I know that my two sons, who are adults living on the mainland far from us, I have switched their Covenant Eyes account so that they are each other's accountability partner. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is a really great idea as well for those of you with young adults is I still check in. I mean, they're 25 and 23 and I still, mm-hmm. and you know, I'm thankful for texting. It's a little less awkward, but I will text the two of them in a group thread and say, I want you to know I'm praying for you. I still trust that you are meeting and asking each other hard questions. You each get a report each week from Covenant Eyes. This is a topic I want you to stay on. And they always thank me. They're really, really thankful.
Yeah.
That opens the conversation even between them.
That's a good mom move, Monica. Well done.
Thank
For reals,
you.
Like that's so beautiful because you obviously equipped them to be able to talk to one another. Mm-hmm. Like for them, I think to myself, like how pivotal that would have been for my husband and his journey. If this makes me emotional to think like if somebody had been able to do that for him, he didn't have anyone. And so like you are giving such a gift to your boys and to their future wives and to their kids. Like that is a powerful thing. And I hope everyone listening will just model Monica and be like, be that for your kids. Help them find people. If they don't have a brother, find a guy that's a brother for them and make that like the norm that we can talk about it and we can build each other up and spur each other on. That is powerful. I'm so glad you shared that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, I've certainly pushed through many awkward moments where it wasn't easy. I was trembling inside. Moms, we got to do this. And dads too. I mean, we love it when the men are involved. And I said many times, I think everyone has different personalities in our family. Yes, my husband's a doctor. He's a man. He'll bring things up sometimes, but I'm the talker. And so I'm like, if it's okay if I'm the one that remembers to bring it up more often. Greta, thank you so much for everything that you do. Again, just for being willing to write this book and put yourself out there. I know I've said before we recorded that I'm imagining you're going to be flooded with emails and direct messages. So I know you can't respond to everyone, but for those who just want to find and follow you and get more from your resources, where can they go?
I'm most active on Instagram. That's where you'll find me hanging out a lot. And I'm just Greta Eskridge or Ma and Pa Modern. Either of those will take you to me. I also have a website, GretaEskridge.com, and there are articles there and just links to things that you can look into on this topic and building connection with your family. And then I also have a podcast. Monica and I both are part of the Christian Parenting Network, and my podcast is the Greta Eskridge Podcast. And you can find me there talking about this stuff and lots more.
Awesome. Well, always such a joy to chat with you, Greta. Thank you so much. And I'm sure we'll have you back another time.
Can't wait.
All right.
I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for having me.
Aloha. All right, friends, I hope you were encouraged by that conversation. And be sure to find show notes with links to everything we talked about over at monicaswanson.com/Greta-talks. And once again, thank you to Lindsay Ware for the very sweet review over on Apple Podcasts. I would be so appreciative if you would take a moment right now to just scroll down on your phone and leave your own rating or review as we are headed towards 1,000 total ratings and reviews. Thank you guys for being a part of my community, both here on my website and in all the things I do. You are a blessing to me. So have yourself a wonderful rest of the week. Get your kids and come back to listen to Luke and I next week. And until then, aloha.